Hi, Brandy. Thank you for being here and welcome on Teen Groups Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. If you feel comfortable, do you want to start off by introducing yourself and a little bit of your background?
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name is Brandy Lidbeck. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I live in California, and I have spent the last 10 so years working with grief, specifically those who've lost someone to suicide. And I have lost several family members and friends to suicide, and so it's been something that's been impacted. It has impacted me personally, and so I really want to always provide support to those. To give them the resources that I didn't have when I went through my own losses. So.
I researched you a little bit. Being a two-time survivor of suicide loss, you might potentially have some insight to what the hardest part of grief, maybe for you or other people, was in the aftermath.
Yeah, so I think it, I actually am now a three-time. I lost a good friend about 2 years ago, but I think it varies for every individual. I think a lot of the things that survivors being those who have lost someone to suicide, deal with are a lot of the questions of why did this happen, or so there's a lot of questioning. There's a lot of blame, or sometimes there's shame, embarrassment. Sometimes just how come I couldn't prevent this? I mean, there's so many different avenues of how people's grief, like what how it takes them. And I don't think there's like one way that people respond, you know? So I think suicide is so traumatic and so unexpected that it's shocking and it's traumatic. And then there's grief, and then there's a lot of times there's anger. And it just is a whole ball of mixed emotions. And a lot of times survivors feel like nobody gets them.
So, what would be your biggest piece of advice for them? If they're feeling like that, or they're feeling angry.
Yeah. So I always say that there's like no wrong emotion. And a lot of times people, and even in the survivor community, will say, how dare you feel angry at your loved one who is suffering so much, who took their lives? But I always say, how can you get to decide how people's grief looks, right? So I say, if you're angry, be angry. If you're incredibly sad, be incredibly, you know, whatever it is, you get to experience that. So we can't shut down people's emotions because we're uncomfortable with their discomfort, right? And so if people are angry, let them be angry. If people are, you know, whatever it is, we get to experience that because that's how we experience grief, and we get to experience our own and not be told what looks appropriate and what's not appropriate grief and all of that.
How would you recommend you offer support to someone or someone else that also might be grieving?
Yeah, so I think listening is always best. So if you're gonna try to be a friend to someone who's lost someone, then be a friend and show up and just listen and let them share the same story a thousand times, or the same, you know, just offer them Kleenex, but not try to fix it. You can't take it away. You can't take away their pain. So just be present and allow them to say what they want to say. There are tons of support groups, both for adults and teens and also for kiddos. And I think there's a lot of power and understanding when you get to go to a group of individuals who are experiencing the same thing that you are, that you don't really get on the outside of that. So even your best friend might not understand it, but that person in the group next to you that you have nothing else in common with, they get it better than anybody else. And so there's power in that, and there's power in not feeling alone or isolated. So I say, don't isolate, be with groups, or be with people, or go to therapy, or do whatever you need to do that feels good for you, that that feels right for you, that helps you kind of go on your journey. But do not stuff it, do not shove it away, because it will always come back, and you don't get to have control over how that manifests down the road.
I think for me and maybe other people, it was like hard for me grieving, like talking to other people that were grieving the same loss about it. How do you recommend like talking to other people that are grieving the same thing as you?
Well, I would ask you specifically, what was hard for you to talk to people who were
like, I didn't want to drag other people down if they weren't feeling like bad in that moment.
Yeah, I hear that a lot of people, like, I don't want to be a burden, or I don't want to, you know, make everyone else sad. So I think you would have to just, do you think that other people coming to talk to you about it is dragging you down?
Like, no, but I think it's like, yeah, I don't know. No.
So we often think that we would be okay with people doing it to us, but that it's not okay for us to do it to others. Right. Mm-hmm. How do we know that that individual who you want to talk with isn't on the brink of tears themselves, or isn't thinking about it every minute of the day? Right. So I mentioned this part of my book where people said after my mom passed, like, we, her friends, they kind of like disappeared. And decades later, I ran into someone. I said, where were you? Like, you just disappeared. And they said, yeah, we didn't want to keep bringing it up and remind you of it. And I said, well, there's an empty chair at my table that reminds me every single day. You bringing it up would have actually been good to have someone who knew and loved her to talk to it, to them about it, you know? And so I think they were like, didn't know how to respond. So they went away, but that didn't help me or them. Yeah. Right. And so I think that the coolest thing in my life has to been to talk to people who knew them, whether it was my family or my friends, and just hear stories and laugh or cry, or like even talk about like, remember when he ticked you off because he did this or that? Like, that's part of grief, but shoving it inside and not talking to other people about it because we don't want to make them uncomfortable is not. So I always say, just talk about it. And if they get to say, I don't want to talk about it today, I was having a good day, I don't want to bring it up, or they could go there with you, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I always say go for it.
Yeah.
But if that wasn't like, and if that wasn't comfortable, then you could always, you know, get a therapist, or you can always, you know, talk to your parents or whomever it is. But always talk, find a way to talk.
Okay. So do you have anything that you feel like you didn't get to say and you want to say?
I think I would just say for suicide specific loss, there's so many times where it just kind of consumes you with questions of like, what did I miss? Especially with like teens, right? Like, what did I miss? Or we just hung out the day before, or how come he didn't tell me, or how come she didn't, you know, like whatever it is. And that wrestling with those questions is, that's okay. That's like what you should be doing, right? But also recognizing that, and I'm choosing my words wisely here, is that we don't have the power to control it or to stop it, right? Mm-hmm. It's really hard to stop something that we didn't know was going to happen. Yeah. And so a lot of times we say, I should have known because I was their best friend, or I should have. It's really, we're not mind readers, right? And if we didn't know, then we can't stop something that, you know? Yeah. And so a lot of times people will hold that guilt or that responsibility for their lives. I've talked to people who lost friends 20, 30 years ago, and they're still holding on to that guilt. And I just want to encourage you to let that go. It's not letting the person go. It's not like saying it didn't matter, because it did matter, but it's not yours to own.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's really inspiring.